Hey, how's it going? Ben here from Veeam Software. First time using the headphones, you probably noticed I'm not quite used to this silent environment. So I'll be talking to you today about five things that you must know about monitoring virtualization in the system center space. So at Veeam, we bring, I guess, the Hyper-V environment and the vSphere environment into that system center layer, and then allow you to do obviously your monitoring and reporting, but then also delving into things like orchestration as well. Yeah, sure. I've just got a request there. If people don't mind just moving to the center of the seating sections where possible, just means when people come in late, we can just seat them on the edges. So if people don't mind just getting a little bit friendly in the middle there, that would be great. And just bear with me just for a second, my connectivity's dropped here as well, so I'm just clicking away there trying to get back online. Hopefully we don't have any issues with that. But essentially we've got a few goals in looking through this presentation. We'll be trying to sort of understand exactly where Veeam fits, but also just give you some general sort of tricks and tips that you can use when you're running your System Center environment. And I guess a quote that sort of speaks to the whole goal that we have in that space is around being able to get a big macro view and right down to that micro view. So we'll be talking about that right eye into the telescope, or we've got the left eye into the microscope. And the articulation or the differentiation, I guess, between looking at silo monitoring solutions or things where we might have a point solution where we drop down and understand what's going on with a particular aspect of our infrastructure, but understanding that System Center Operations Manager is giving us that whole of infrastructure view, which being Operations Manager, we're mainly concerned with operations and continuity of the whole operation. So the objectives today, we'll help you understand some key metrics. So Veeam is drawing a lot of data into System Center, making that data usable. So we'll focus on some of those metrics that I guess are key in being able to leverage off and make sure that we can get some outcomes. As well as that, we'll be looking at getting the best from System Center in general, making sure that we're able to, from day to day, make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to get the best out of that environment. Just bear with me a second. Let's say I've had connectivity drop. So we might just have to cut across. Apologies for that. Got to get my remote desktop sessions back up. And there's just some other tips. So as well as the Veeam paid tools, we do have a bunch of free tools, and we're showing you how you can use those to get immediate effect. So the five things, I guess, because this is five things that you must know, exclamation mark. Context. So mapping everything together. It's all very well to draw in that data. And in general, with management packs, we often will get, I guess, just those basic metrics, a lot of outputs, lines on graphs and things like that. But when we're talking about a dynamic underpinning piece of our infrastructure, like virtualization, we want to understand a little bit more. We want to know how it all hangs together, and that can change as we go from day to day. The key metrics, again, making sure that we understand how we can use that data that we're bringing in and what it actually means in the real world. So when we're trying to deal with virtual machine health or host health, host storage health, etc., what does it sort of mean to us in terms of being able to get those outcomes at the end of the day? Capacity planning, so making sure that we've got that view to the future, understanding based on the trends that we're seeing in the environment, where things are likely to trend in the future for us. So making sure that we're prepared and able to deploy in time. And the power of knowledge and automation. So it's all very well to receive an alert, but what do we make of that alert once it's received? So just making sure that we can understand what the next steps might be, pulling together some of that knowledge information up front, and then being able to leverage off of that knowledge, understanding what the best practice resolution might be. Okay, looks like I'm back online, which is great. Just to make sure I get these desktops back up. That's looking pretty punchy. Okay, so monitoring options for VMware and Hyper-V that sort of exist. On the VMware side, we can monitor with vCenter to a point. So vCenter is obviously a great management tool in the vSphere space. It's providing us with that ability to manage our environment and doing some short-term retention of metrics for us. But one of the key challenges for us there, obviously, is that we've got vCenter doing the management from day to day. It needs to perform very well. We don't necessarily want that same database to be concerned with maintaining a great bulk of data for us, and then wanting to leverage that data for things like complex reporting tasks, which would then be contending for resources with our management. So we want to keep that separate where we can. So that's something that we would definitely want to consider when we're choosing a monitoring solution. Agents in the VM, another popular way to sort of get that information out. But we need to be taking that infrastructure view, as we say. So making sure that we've got potentially some awareness of what's going on from the operating system's perspective, but what's happening from the hypervisor's perspective, and can we sort of marry the two together? Things like SNMP and syslog, obviously we're going to get some information that way, but how usable is it and how efficient is it? How scalable is that? Are we able to revision our software safely and confidently, for instance? So if we get a new version of Hyper-V come out, new version of VMware, or any product that we're monitoring that way, are we proactive in terms of being able to manage all those new event types and understand that we're going to be supported when we want to release that new version? And the VMware Web Service SDK, so that's sort of, I guess, the best way to pull data out. That's how Veeam will be doing it in terms of how vCenter is interacting there, where we've got a framework that we can leverage to pull that data in a structured way. On the Hyper-V side, we've got Virtual Machine Manager, so VMM, and that's providing us with, again, a management tool rather than a monitoring and a reporting tool. We get a few metrics in there. Day to day, we're able to use that to manage our environment to some extent. But again, for that rich, deep context, we're probably not going to find that there. Age in the VM, we've got, you know, potentially a system center agent within the operating system. We've got performance monitor, things like that. But again, what sort of view does that give us? Potentially quite a siloed or a blinkered view, not really taking into account what's going on in that whole of environment. Again, SNMP, we've spoken about that one. And then down to SCOM, which is convenient because that's what we're going to talk about in terms of understanding that with SCOM, we can get pretty much apt to bare metal through all the different elements of our environment and draw those together into a cohesive, usable tool for administrators day to day. So SCOM itself, being able to gather that information and be told how to show that back, and then being able to add in the intelligence for all the different products and elements that might be forming our infrastructure. And for us specifically, obviously, looking at virtualization aspect. So System Center Operations Manager, just really quickly and at a really high level. Essentially what we're talking about is that console, which is the application front end, can have web-based access as well. But we're drawing that data via a very structured framework, which is mature and robust, which brings all of those data metrics into that central database. Data warehousing is taken care of. All of those elements are things that we can then jump off of to be able to monitor, report, work on different things, make sure that we're being proactive in our environment. So when we get SCOM, it doesn't know much about anything. It's basically an empty vessel. And how we leverage the management packs is how we add that intelligence so that it can know about things within our environment. So by adding in management packs for things like the Microsoft products, storage products, network products, obviously, we give it that insight. What Veeam does is give a very scalable, redundant method for bringing the hypervisor information in and then showing you in all the different instances how we can leverage that information. So out of the box, you're getting that picture of exactly what that looks like. So again, apt to bare metal, the entire stack. We're looking for that single pane of glass, which is the phrase that we always hear when we're talking about System Center, and being able to very quickly do things like determine root cause, report in a really, I guess, flexible and customizable way, and also address a bunch of different stakeholders in terms of who our audience is and how we want to present that different data. talk to you quickly about some of the stuff that you can do straight away with Veeam and System Center for free. So not trying to get you to run out and buy stuff and add it into System Center, but essentially on the Hyper-V side, you've got the ability to go out right now and get a bunch of free licenses for the Hyper-V management pack. So the stuff that we look at today, just keep that in mind. I think up until the end of the year, we've got a bunch of Hyper-V enterprise sockets to give away with first year of maintenance. And then we're also going to have a look at our new free tool, which is the Task Manager for Hyper-V, which is pretty neat because I've never really been able to myself get a good view when I'm looking at the Hyper-V hosts on exactly what's going on with that memory CPU consumption. Splits it all out beautifully, put that on your Hyper-V hosts, and it's a very useful tool. So in terms of that first objective that we have, which is context, we want to do something to join the dots. So we want to be able to take the data that we're receiving, make sure that we're getting something that's contextual. So if we have an issue, how does that issue sit in context? And what can we do to address it? Can we understand what is feeding up into that? And what are the contributing factors? So we want to track relationships and dependencies. So we want to map out what's relying on what, and what's that path, I guess, in terms of determining availability, and then from that availability map, being able to determine what designates a service level. So how available is the service? How usable is the service? If we don't have an insight into virtualization when we're in a virtualized environment, how useful is that likely to be, I guess is the question. So we've got an insight into what's going on with the application, operating system, underpinning hardware from the perspective of maybe storage and things like that. But when it comes to the virtualization stack, in a lot of cases, it's a black box. We just don't really see it. Okay, that's not gonna light up. I thought we were gonna get through all five there. Okay, so availability and status. Obviously, we wanna know what's going on with the different aspects of our environment. We're able to see that from all kinds of points of view. So VMs, host, storage, network, hardware, being able to understand how those metrics mash together, but also dashboarding, widgets, all that kind of stuff that makes it easy for us to consume. So we're gonna go for our first demo. This is where, just because I've had to drop offline and back online, I just wanna make sure I'm still all connected before I hook you in. And yep, that's looking pretty good. All right. Lovely. Okay, so basically what Veeam's done is we've brought the data in, and then what we're gonna do is map it all together in a bunch of different ways. So you can see here from the perspective of what we can see on the left, that's the management pack. For topology views, we won't just give you, I guess, an infrastructure-centric view, which is around how does the compute stack fit together? How have we done that maybe from the perspective of clustering, et cetera? We're also gonna break things up from the perspective of looking at a network-centric view, a storage-centric view, making sure that, you know, depending on what our issue is or even potentially which team is looking at the problem, that they're gonna get a really clear view on what's going on in there. So if we drill down through this compute view, you can sort of see we start from at a high level, having that sort of whole of infrastructure, coming down through to the individual host. For us, it's quite a basic Hyper-V infrastructure there in the lab, but we do have two independent Hyper-V hosts there, and we've got a cluster. And we can see that we're having the health state roll up. And also just by rolling over those aspects, we're gonna have all of the attributes pulled up as well, so we can get them in a single location. Drilling down through this infrastructure, the topology will just sort of roll out. And we can see that for this particular host, we're getting some silos passed up in terms of network and storage. And then down through the compute layer, we can see the virtual machines that are homed on that host right now. And then for VMs that have a System Center agent installed, we can continue to drill down through the operating system layer. So for instance, with this server here, we can drill down and continue down through the Windows management pack. So we've actually broken out of the virtualization management pack down through the guest, and we're pulling up all of that that information as well. So we've got that full context. That's not something that we've had to do manually. Dynamically, that will all be mapped out as the VMs are added and then polled in terms of if you deploy more System Center agents, etc. That's all going to be dynamic within the environment as well. So once all the data arrives inside System Center, it isn't proprietary to Veeam in any way. It is System Center data. So you can work with that the same way you would work with any System Center data. All of the procedures, all of the investment you've made in terms of training, all that kind of stuff is leveraged off. So anything that you would normally do in working with System Center, you're able to do against all of these objects. So for instance, if we have a look at the Hyper-V host here, we're able to have a look and see, for instance, like a Health Explorer. We can also do things like filter in terms of, so I'll run that Health Explorer, roll up all of the events that are affecting at the moment for that particular node. And then also we can filter by health state. So we can have a look and see, just show me the things that are bad in the environment. I don't really mind about everything else. So those kind of views can be really, really powerful in terms of getting a high level health and then being able to drill down and understand what we need to do. The other one, we'll just have a look just to sort of show you a storage centric one. I'll show you over on the VMware side. We've got a little bit more of a complex storage map. So you can see here again, whole of estate down to the silos. We've got a couple of vCenters. And then if we drill out, can see we'll go down, we've got a bunch of data stores, we're getting health from them. There's not a lot of dramatic stuff in there in terms of state warning, so nothing's critical. But just in terms of being able to map that out, you can see that's pretty useful. Then if we have a look at maybe on the left hand here, and we wanted to jump in and have a look at some metrics, it's all the sort of SCOM pathways, I guess, in terms of being able to leverage off that. So if I want to look at performance views, which are home towards that particular piece of storage, open that up, choose one of the metrics. So I'll have a look at commands per second or IOPS per second off that storage. And then we can see there, that's pretty quick. Get into that. All right, now this one is 6. Okay. So being able to visualize the key metrics, I guess, is the next step for us. So we've been able to, I guess, draw that data in. We know that we can map it together. But being able to visualize those key metrics is key and being able to make them usable. So that's when we tend to start to look at things like dashboarding, high-level views that are going to be able to, I guess, alert us to issues within the environment. There's also, in terms of, I guess, how the stack hangs together, monitoring and reporting are, I guess, treated as two sort of slightly separate silos. And when we're looking at monitoring, I guess what we're talking about is being able to detect early when we're having an issue and being able to stop that exception from occurring or to be able to understand when we're trending towards a problem. But down in that reporting phase, I guess we've got a much longer term view potentially. So maybe being able to map out months, years of data, and that will all be against your data warehousing rules within SCOM. So getting your collection points and having them collapse down through data warehousing. But again, being able to understand how to sort of leverage those particular aspects of it. So let me jump into a demo on how we do some neat visualization stuff. Now, just to sort of articulate how that looks, monitoring up the top here, reporting down the bottom. We'll just fold that out just so you can sort of see. But basically, for all of the feeds that come in from a metric perspective, we're able to plug that into the different panes of the dashboards, for instance, and then also things like widgets. So if we want to have like traffic light type output, but also dial type output in terms of seeing what that looks like, we can do really powerful stuff in making sure that we're able to, I guess, keep front of mind particular aspects of our infrastructure that are important. So they're the things that you build out with your own authoring, but will basically give you all the different aspects that you can leverage off. So if we drill down through here, you can see the kinds of reports that we've got. So just, I guess, making that differentiation between the monitoring and the reporting aspects. But if we step up here, for the different parts of the infrastructure, so down here we've got like Hyper-V. We'll get everything, first of all, at a high level, being able to visualize, you know, whole of estate type of issues. But then if we're trying to drill down to something that's a bit more granular, will be able to come down through. We know that it's a host or cluster issue. We want to have a look in there. We know that it's a storage issue. So we've got that node there, virtual machine. So we've got the different sort of angles that we come at it at, I guess, to find what we're looking for. But at some of those high level views, have things like obviously dashboards, heat maps, things that give us those visual cues in terms of being able to make a response. And one of the ones that we've built up, so in terms of, I guess, demonstrating that you're able to build up those dashboards, one of the ones that we've pre-built here, so this one gives us just a sort of a top five or a top 10 output for the memory in the CPU. So just wait for that one to pop up. And then I'll show you the service level one. So the service level one talks more about availability, I guess, and being able to have that more widgety output in terms of saying, for those machines, what was the availability? Okay, so that one's loaded up now. We can see we're very quickly able to see from a Hyper-V host perspective where we've got issues with performance and whether we need to drill down and understand more deeply what's going on there. But also if we have a look at this one, as you can see, we can get some pretty visually rich stuff in terms of understanding, okay, we've made a determination of what service levels are. So maybe if a particular host goes above 80%, we consider that to be a degraded performance level or whatever. So we've mapped out the aspects of the infrastructure that we want to include. And then for those aspects, what are the metrics that are acceptable, not acceptable, considered degraded or not available? And then we'll have this widget, which is around availability. So you can see this system's been 100% available for all of the time that time frame takes into account. But obviously that's dynamic depending on what happens in the environment there. If we need to drill down through any of these aspects as well, we're able to refresh here. But if we have a look on the task pane, we'll also get some context sensitive stuff in the task pane generally in terms of being able to drill through. Maybe not on that dashboard. Okay, we'll come down through all hosts. So you can see here for the particular host that we had the contention on, we're able to come down through some of these context sensitive analysis here. So have a look at this host compute analysis, and that gives us a view onto what's going on with that host in the near past and where we might have some particular issues. So that can be pretty powerful for us. Okay. All right, so I guess specifically, Hyper-V provides some interesting aspects for us in terms of the CPU performance and other things, because I guess obviously once we're virtualized, we've got some different factors to consider against systems that are non-virtualized. We've got all the sharing of resources to take into account, over-commitment of resources, and things like memory ballooning and those things within the hypervisor that we need to be able to keep a view to. And then in the later versions, we've also got that concept of the enlightened virtual machines, or the virtual machines that have that higher level of interaction with the hypervisor. So for those things, we have obviously the ability to understand where we're starting to, I guess, overcommit or trend towards an issue which might be causing us a problem in the future in terms of how we've allocated those resources. But we're also able to step inside the Hyper-V host, as I say, with the task manager, and understand what's going on with that particular host. And for me, particularly interesting, understanding, I guess, what's going on with the root VM on Hyper-V, the underlying hypervisor, and then the guest VMs. So that articulation for me, I've always found kind of difficult. So in terms of the particular metric that we're looking at here, which is the overall process utilization for that guest operating system, we've got the healthy state, which would be less than 60%, going into that caution state, and then obviously 90 to 100%, we're considering that to be pretty critical. And as I say, the issue that we have with some of those host counters or the native task managers is just around how we're having that memory and processor allocated and how it sits with the root partition and then the child partitions. So we sort of have that underlying hypervisor, like obviously when we add the Hyper-V role, we sort of lift up the operating system and put it on top of that underlying hypervisor. And then we've got that root VM, which is sort of what we log into to actually use the Hyper-V host. So getting that view to what's actually going on in there is kind of a little bit challenging sometimes. So I'll show you what our Hyper-V Task Manager looks like so you can sort of see for yourself. But basically it's going to give us that view onto what's going on inside there. All right, bear with me, I've lost that window. Okay. So as I say, this is a free tool. You can download this and install this on any of your Hyper-V hosts and certainly have a play around with it. Let us know what you think. One of the demos that we're going to do as well really demonstrates how you can sort of see how this works when we've got a bit more activity. But it'll just sort of give you a bit of insight into what it looks like at a higher level. So you can see here, we've got this differentiation between the guest virtual machines and then the host itself. And then I think that we've got some Veeam specific stuff. So that's to do with our backup and replication product as well. So that's why it's sort of sitting down there. But basically we're gonna get those metrics pulled out to the right and specifically being able to split them up by virtual machine. So where that's kind of handy, I guess if we look at the normal task manager, even when we've got a virtual machine that's quite busy or maxed out, we won't really necessarily see that in the normal task manager. So that normal task manager is looking pretty calm. We don't really see, I guess, what's going on there from a guest perspective. If I jump into one of the guests, thank you. Okay. Reconnect. So we'll just jump into one of these guests and we'll stress it out and then we'll see how the metrics change within the Hyper-V Task Manager. But I guess mapping out the idea that you'll sort of get a bit of a peak in the native Task Manager, but within the Hyper-V Task Manager, we're going to get that differentiation between where that CPU is actually being consumed. So within this guest, we're going to max out this CPU. And we'll jump back to the host. So we can see now that's stepping up. And then we can see we've got that mark down there in terms of being a lot more utilization. But from a whole host perspective, we're really not seeing that at all. We're sort of just getting not a lot of insight into what's going on at that lower level. So, okay, so where that can help us out a bit as well though, is if we're doing anything in terms of trying to hot add CPUs, because we've got that capacity to, I guess, in Hyper-V, we can be pretty clever with how we expand and contract CPU availability to a particular guest VM over time. So when we set up a VM, we can designate, I guess, as a sort of a hard limit, how many CPU cores, how many cycles to assign, I guess, for that particular VM. And we can't alter that without restarting. But what we can do is we can throttle down the availability of that, so as a percentage. So we can say, of this total allocation, actually throttle that right down. Now that helps us out with things like saying we have a minimum requirement for a particular piece of software. We'll put it up so that the machine actually has 4 gig or 8 gig so that we can do that. But for day-to-day use, we're actually only going to allow a much smaller amount to be utilized. So that's one use for that, but I guess what we're talking about is creating a container of storage or an idea of an amount of storage and then being able to actively throttle what goes on within that particular envelope. So that can open up some interesting opportunities for us in terms of working with that virtual machine as well. So I'll just jump into that Hyper-V host and we'll see where those settings are from a host perspective. So we can see for Servo 9, if we jump in and have a look at the settings for the CPU, we've got the limit. At the moment, that limit's set to 100%, so essentially all of the memory that's been, all of the CPU that's been assigned is made available to that machine. And for whatever reason, we might choose to sort of throttle that right down. So we might take that down to 25%. And if we apply that, we should get an immediate change. Sorry, I want to be on the host. And then looking at the Hyper-V task manager. There we go. So you can see that's dropped right down to 25%. That's happened immediately. So we've pretty much got that live capacity to hot add essentially CPU power without powering down using those throttles. Where that can be pretty handy is in terms of if you wanted to I guess, automate that process or make that process more of an automated workflow. Obviously, because we're bringing those metrics into System Center, so we can understand when we've got a particular pressure pushing upwards, what we can potentially have is a system which has deliberately constrained CPU resources, where we've throttled that right down. But then once we start to push upwards on that constraint, have an orchestrator workflow which will actually expand that on demand. So I'll show you how that looks. I've actually got this one on a video. So essentially, yeah, just covering off that we've got that server there. It's got that particular allocation. In this case, we'll be looking at sort of bringing that down artificially at first so that we're able to demonstrate that once we can hit that metric, so sort of say, we've allowed 25% or 50% or whatever it is for that machine. We know that that'll allow a certain amount of work to take place, obviously, but if that system gets busy and within System Center, we capture that alert, which tells us we're running out of cycles, we're trending towards about to hit that 100%, we're in that critical sort of band that we were talking about before. Once we start to hit that, we actually want to have that orchestrator workflow, which will tell us release that memory essentially to that guest dynamically. And then we can have another workflow which runs periodically, obviously, to set that back. So we'll just maybe get up to a point where we're running that orchestration. I think it's just going through that process of demonstrating how that Hyper-V had. So here we go. So within that orchestration, basically, we want to be able to grab that ID so that we can home down to a particular UID. So this has been designed so that it'll point to a logical name in terms of the VM. And then it'll take that and pass that through essentially as an orchestration, reconfigure that at VMM, make sure that we're able to have that happen on the fly. And then once that's happened, it'll pass an alert through to System Center. So essentially, again, capturing that information back within that System Center management pack, making sure that we've had transparency that change has had to take place. And then once that's happened, we've got the ability again to flick it back the other way. So you can see here, now that he's running that orchestration, it's waiting to see this state occur. Now we're just going to ramp up the CPU so that we can see that workflow step through to completion. So it's starting to get pretty busy there. And then what we should see on the runbook side is that hitting its mark. So you can see there, we've been monitoring that alert. The alert's come through, maxing out the CPU. We've made that marriage, I guess, between that alert and the particular VM that it relates to. And then we've gone off and made that change to the configuration. After which we've sent that update through to System Center so that we can understand that that's happened. So I think you pop out to System Center, we can see that alert there, and that lets us know that we've set that up to 100%. So again, we sort of do that in reverse. We probably don't need to watch that whole thing, but we're sort of saying in the other orchestration, once we get back to a point where we're comfortable that we can drop back down, we can again have that automated. So essentially what we have is a dynamic reservation of CPU, which is managed on demand using those orchestrations. So that's a good example, I guess, of by bringing those metrics inside and being able to work with them within that System Center stack, we can get a lot of powerful functionality there. So we'll let that one go. Jump back in. Okay, so Another big one is monitoring network performance and capacity. Increasingly important, I guess, as we contend for these resources, and understanding what particular footprint we have within a data center as well. So we see system center in a lot of environments where we obviously have an underlying infrastructure which a bunch of different tenants or consumers will be contending for, and needing to make sure that that footprint is defined and managed quite well. So being able to pull those metrics from a hypervisor perspective is important, but with SCOM we as well get a bunch of different points of view. So we can understand what's happening in terms of network traffic from an operating system point of view, underlying networking hardware, through to things like the hypervisor itself, and from a VM perspective, I guess. In terms of things like understanding what's going on with fragmentation, being able to optimize our MTU size or the packet size, those are the kind of things where we can really grapple with those on a broad basis. So we're talking often about large infrastructures, but being able to define rules around how do we tune an MTU size for a particular VM, how do we ensure that we've got that ideal packet size. So being able to understand, I guess, what the symptoms are when something's not quite right, and then being able to tune the machine based on those symptoms, making sure that we end up with an optimized system. So that's very a good example of that. Is in terms of making sure that we are able to sort of find that that MTU size. So what we can do with that one is we can ping, and then we can receive a response, which might tell us to defrag. We can tune that up, adding to the MTU size until we reach a particular optimized point. So that's obviously something that you can automate with an orchestration and make sure that that's gonna be ideal. We've got a demonstration on how to do a slightly different orchestration around being able to get a path ping, which is consistently available as a task, I guess, within System Center. So I'm just going to show you that one. And what that sort of does is allow us to, I guess, show how you take a day-to-day task and make it so that it can be performed over and over again, automated, and pushed against a bunch of different virtual machines. So in this case, we're going to go down into authoring, create a task. In this case, we're going to use the command line and leverage the path ping command. And what that's going to do is go off to all the different hops and help us understand what kind of pings we're getting across that whole sort of path. So targeting against, in this case, looking at targeting against the Windows machine. And what that means is that when we're going for context sensitive stuff within the interface, we're able to leverage across those Windows machines. And then we want to execute that path ping command and make sure that we're be able to receive the output in a usable way as well. So we'll just see what that looks like. So now when we come back to monitoring, we'll find a particular machine that we want to execute against. And we'll see that across in the tasks pane, we'll now have that as an option. And from there, we'll see the output. So against that particular machine, we're sending out a ping. And we'll see the different hops should start to populate through there. So I guess showing you that you can very quickly start to have operations which are going to help you understand the health of the system and have them executed against a bunch of different types of infrastructure. So whether it's at a Windows machine level or up through the hypervisor level or whatever, you've got that capacity to make things reproducible and all kinds of tasks. So whether we're dealing with something that we would generally be looking to the VMM interface, PowerShell, running command scripts, that kind of stuff, we've got that capacity within System Center to make all of that nicely automated. All right, so memory monitoring, again, just understanding some of those metrics that we need to keep an eye to, understanding that we've obviously got dynamic memory and we've got the non-uniform memory, which is potentially gonna have a different impact, and making sure that for those systems where we need to have fully allocated or not dynamic memory, that we're definitely having that available. So avoiding paging where we can. So we'll definitely have those brought to the fore in terms of our monitoring, making sure that we're using the swap file as a last resort, but we should be looking, I guess, to have either non-uniform memory accessed at that sort of hardware layer in a way which isn't having an impact on the performance of the machine, like an SQL system or whatever. Obviously, we want to make sure that we've got that correctly configured. But in terms of the memory balloon, making sure that we've got that pre-allocated memory essentially there inside the virtual machine. So we do get pretty deeply into the storage layer as well. So those metrics are pulled through the hypervisor layer, if you like. So a lot of what we get is sort of hypervisor centric in terms of understanding what that looks like. So you would have seen before that when we're inside the VMware management pack, we'll be looking at things very much from a data store centric view, understanding how they sort of map together, and the underlying storage within Hyper-V as well, being able to understand what VMs that impacts if we do have some kind of constraint or issue developing within that storage. So things like overcommitment of disk in terms of disk pressure, keeping enough minimum free space so that we can at least run snapshots and not have our machines corrupt is obviously pretty important. But also additional tasks which you might not think of. So being able to keep track of within a data store on vCenter or vSphere, sorry, have we just dropped some data in there over time that's sort of built up? So being able to have that all wrapped up into a monitoring as well, understanding if we've got some garbage files out there that we can get rid of. And also understanding, yeah, snapshots that are getting too old, checkpoints, things that we need to dive in and release. And latency. So we deal a lot with this. Most of you probably know, like from Veeam Software, which is where I work, we do backup and replication within that virtual layer. And a lot of what we need to deal with is around that disk health story. So things like understanding where we're seeing disk latency, where we're exceeding the IOPS capability of the storage, making sure that we understand where those tipping points are. And to be able to do that correctly, we pretty much have to have a monitoring solution which looks at what's happening down at that disk layer. So being able to gather up things like the latency from the kernel perspective, which should be kind of zero, but when we pass down to the actual storage device, less than 20 milliseconds if we can. But just understanding, I guess, what's acceptable firstly within that particular environment, but where we consider those tipping points to be or things that we need to drill down and work on. So from a storage reporting perspective, I do have a bunch of stuff around, I guess, the day-to-day reporting, which is important, but also being able to make sure that we're being proactive in terms of capacity planning and things like that as well. So let's have a look at some reports. All right, so the Veeam reports are split up into a number of different sections. From that perspective, we'll sometimes see compute and storage separated. Sometimes they'll be together. But we'll be looking at things, I guess, from the perspective of either performance, so understanding if there's a particular metric that we want to drill down to, or whether there's a particular outcome that we're looking for. So if it's an optimization outcome or a capacity planning outcome, we'll definitely be looking down into the sort of more the capacity planning reports. And doing things like forecasts for data stores from a performance perspective or maybe from a storage perspective as well. So performance, data growth, different aspects that we need to be able to drill down on. So we'll have a quick look and see what this one looks like. And then we'll have a look to just sort of see the unknown files report as well. So what we'll be looking at from these forecast reports is we'll generally be saying use a metric, which is obviously a period of time in the past, which is a period of time in the past, and use that as a guide to work out what's likely to happen in the future. And I'd like to know if I'm going to get to that time point and be able to still meet my thresholds on my SLAs. So in this scenario, the default is 10% free space is what we always want to retain. We'll set that a little bit more aggressively and just sort of hope that gives us some more interesting output. But what we're basically saying is that we want to make sure that we've got that minimum 30% at that 30-day mark. And if not, we need some guidance on potentially what we need to do about that. So we'll let that report run. But essentially, a lot of the challenges that we have around, I guess, making sure that that capacity planning story is correct, will just be around having a time frame where we know that we can provision that additional storage and making sure that we're safely identifying that threat before we breach that threshold, essentially. So being able to identify early just means that making sure that we're able to, you know, provision whatever we need to, whether it's even just a change request that needs to go up within a data center, or whether we actually need to get some spindles ordered and pass them into the environment. Either way, we obviously have a time frame around that. So let's have a look. So what we'll basically get for each of our data stores that we've analyzed is a high-level finding telling us which resource is going to cause us the issue before we get to the threshold time period, how many days we've got left if we're going to make it past the time period, and then we'll have some additional feedback in terms of what we can do to address that issue or get us to our time period. So what we'll often have is we'll run this report as a first analysis, which will give us, okay, we're going to breach in terms of our SLA or our preferred time period, if you like. But then additional to that, we might go run the report again and say, well, now we want to know what we would need to do to make the storage capacity good for 6 months or 90 days or whatever it might be. And that might be the figure that you use for actually deciding how much storage you want to deploy. So very useful report there. Just scroll down. And then if we scroll down, what we get is essentially the underpinning data. So we'll get the data over a period of time, the trend essentially, and telling us whether we're heading up. So you can see that's quite a good one, heading up through that limit there. Okay, so we might power through that one, just get through to some of this resource pooling bits and pieces. So I guess key to virtualization is the fact that everybody's sharing resources, and I guess that's one of the promises of virtualization that we're all trying to leverage. Being able to get, obviously, hardware independence, encapsulation, all that kind of stuff's really good, but on one hand, what we're trying to do is just drive that consolidation ratio. So making sure that we can have, I guess, the maximum number of systems leveraging the smallest number of hosts, but do that as safely as possible. So making sure that the information that we're gathering in is keeping us within that bubble where we feel safe, we feel that we're not gonna have a sudden overcommitment or an issue where we're gonna have a system service level actually degrade. So importantly, within Hyper-V and within VMware, there's a few things that we need to look to around that. So number of running vCPUs per host core is important. And obviously, we've got the absolute maximum of 25, but a best practice of around 4 to 8. So that might vary in your environment. Just making sure, though, that you've got a view to, you can keep chucking the virtual machines on there, keep allocating vCPU resources. But making sure that you've got a view to understanding where some of those limits are, being able to report on that and action that potentially as an optimization or a right-sizing exercise. In terms of memory pressure, making sure that obviously the amount of memory that we're allocating has a relationship to the amount of physical memory that's actually available and being able to make that correlation. As we say, vSphere will do that pretty efficiently, but we've got to make sure that we don't get into that swapping scenario that we discussed before. So we want to avoid that. Make sure that we're using either the memory ballooning mechanism to pre-allocate a bit of memory in advance, I guess, but make sure that we're not getting into underlying swapping. And disk pressure. So obviously we're going to allocate a bunch of disk out as well. It might be more disk than we have available for whatever reason. And that won't necessarily have an impact on our performance, but what we have to keep an eye out for is the fact that we'll potentially very quickly get to a point where we actually have no more disk available. So if we have all those virtual disks contending for a limited pool of physical disk, making sure that we've got a very clear view to what's going on there and that we're not going to overrun. So we've got a really good demo in terms of sort of how you drill down through that whole sort of scenario. Let me grab that one. And essentially starting at a high level, being able to see where we've potentially got an issue, which is related to that contention, and then showing you some of the different views that we can sort of step down through. So one of Veeam's bespoke reports are the usage analysis reports. So when we talk about resource pool usage analysis, we'll essentially be looking at that resource pool and we'll gather together a bunch of information around that and include it in the alert. So the alert just doesn't say we've got a constraint, so memory maxing out. It'll actually tell you, you know, how much memory there is, how much is being used, what are the top consumers of the memory within that resource pool, what are those VMs called, how much memory have they consumed. So we can see that there. And then if we drill down, as we say, passing across to where we're getting that list view into the compute analysis, we're going to be able to sort of start to get a view on potentially what's happening there from a memory perspective. We can see that the SCOM system itself, which is homed on that host, that's the one that's sort of adding a lot of pressure to the memory scenario. And that's potentially where we sort of need to understand if we need to make a change. We'll navigate through and have a look at the dynamic memory analysis for that particular VM. So again, that fault path resolution, you're not having to go all over the place and sort of understand yourself which of these systems are related or which of these metrics are related. You're getting that nice path through. And then I think there's a good example as well just here about how you can also get a view across the storage in a similar way in terms of that contention. And that will be around that ability to heat map around the storage. So keep front of mind which storage is potentially becoming a troublemaker and what the issue might be. So in this scenario, we've got one sort of gone red hot, and the issue around that one could be anything. We need to drill down and understand, but we can execute tasks as well against that system. So if for whatever reason we determined that, for instance, the snapshots need to be recommitted, we've got that ability to do that directly from SCOM if the permissions have been enabled as well. All right, so I'll power through. I'm just conscious of time, so we'll power through a couple of these last bits and pieces. We've covered them pretty well anyway in terms of a crystal ball would be pretty handy, but the best that we can do, I guess, in understanding how we're tracking and what's going to happen in the future is leveraging the data that we already have in hand. So taking that data in and allowing us to forecast, do that trend modeling, things like capacity planning, but also understanding where we're trending in terms of alerts and all that kind of stuff. So do we have a change in a particular system which has caused alerts to increase? Those kind of correlations are nice and easy to make. So keeping on top of the pressure metrics, capacity, as I say, alert trending, and then things like what if reports. So understanding if we want to put a particular number of virtual machines in a particular location, what impact is that likely to have? So don't just do it and find out. Plan ahead and understand what that'll look like. I think the capacity planning stuff we've covered over pretty well, so we'll leave that one alone, but we'll just jump in and have a quick look at the knowledge is power. So out of the box with Veeam, all the alerts and things that we're drawing up from that infrastructure, we won't just sort of chuck you the alert that we've passed. For each of those alerts, we'll also provide you with a bunch of knowledge base information. So that helps you to understand what that alert is, but then also what the probable causes are, and then next steps or remediation in terms of being able to resolve that issue. So that's obviously powerful in terms of being able to stay within that single context as well. Reducing that mean time resolution again, using that knowledge base, but the automation piece. So we've sort of covered that in terms of understanding the both orchestrator from a system center perspective, but also across in VMware orchestration. So look, I'll just show you quickly one of the knowledge base pieces. We'll leave the VMware orchestration because we'll probably find that it's pretty similar to what you've seen on the VMM side, but just knowing that you do have that capacity both ways to manipulate both the hypervisors from that single platform is pretty powerful as well. So I'll just find a good alert to check against for some knowledge base info. So I might just go a little bit higher. So you can see for the whole of infrastructure, I can go up and see all my active alerts. And then for each of those active alerts, I'm going to be able to drill down and see the knowledge base information. So the analysis ones are sort of Veeamy ones, but I'll just find, like a cluster error is probably a good one. So you can sort of hear, we'll get the actual issue that was passed up. We'll then get some summary from Veeam about what we think about the issue. And then we'll have some causes based on the output of the error. And then the next path to resolution based on that particular output. Okay, so very powerful in terms of, as I say, being able to stay within that one context and follow right through from capturing the initial alert right through to the resolution of the issue. Now, I think that's our five things. So if anyone's got any questions, please feel free. Just raise your hand so I know whereabouts you are, and then go ahead and ask me. Yep. Yeah, so certainly you can, anything that you're receiving within SCOM, you can then orchestrate against those alerts. So essentially you can develop self-healing. The stuff that comes out of the box doesn't do that, but it provides you with the information, I guess, to say, if this is the error and this is the feed that you're getting, this is what you need to do to fix it. So it would be, as those issues arise and your engineers are resolving them, they'd then potentially make those fixes as they go. Any other questions? Yep. Just there? Hang on, I think there's a microphone there.
What are the disaster recovery options for SCOM?
Which one, sorry?
The disaster recovery options, like if you want to, you know, restore the database, and can you individually restore dashboards and customization you do on the system, because it's automated pretty much when it's gathering data.
Yep.
So if you customize, like, you know, creating your own dashboard and stuff like that, so if you have to reinstall the whole server, you know, can you individually restore the dashboards and any customization you do on it?
Yeah, so basically how that works is, in terms of the distribution of the app, SCOM can be distributed across multiple management servers, so you've got redundancy there. But then also all of those different dashboards and monitoring groups and stuff, they live inside management packs, which you can back up and then restore into an environment as well. So all of those, the overrides and the management packs, are sort of the two main things, which are the customizations. You can sort of take them offline as well as like any other backup strategy that you've got around that system. Anyone else? Yep.
That Hyper-V Task Manager, does it work on the server core?
Yeah, you can run it remotely and connect it to a remote host. So you'll be able to hook into the core servers that way.
And it's only work for server 2012 Ultra, or does it work on the 2008 Ultra as well?
It's a good question. Most of our stuff's 2008 R2 SP1 and forward. So potentially, but just need to check up on that one.
So we have two environments. We also have VMware in my network. Does the plugin work in vCenter as well?
Yeah, so basically what happens is you create the back-end plumbing, which is sort of what Veeam provides, and then we point that at aspects that we want to monitor. But yeah, everything ends up in System Center, so everything's aligned with System Center. So if you've got VC Ops or VSOM, that sort of sits over as a bit of a silo tool, I guess, for VMware. But in terms of the data that's being pulled from VMware or vSphere, that all ends up in that same System Center type of context. Does that sort of answer your question? Yeah.
Just a quick question in regards to the free tool. What do you need to run it? .NET 3.5, 4.0?
I'm not sure on that one what the prerequisites are, but ping us at the stand later on. I'll check for you and I'll let you know. It'll be in the release notes. No worries. Okay. Well, thanks very much for your attention, everybody. That's great. If you are able to fill in the feedback, we've got the feedback system as well. If you need anything else, just hop over to the stand later on. We'll be there through the day. And as I say, we've got the evaluation, that if you can fill that out, that'd be great. Thanks very much.